The following presentation is not suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised. Josh Schlute stared at his computer screen in the Operations Support Branch, or OSB office, of the CIA. He was part of an elite team of hackers and engineers building cyber weapons to subvert and spy on global threats. Schlute had been sifting through the same code for hours, racking his brain to figure out why it wasn't working. The solution began to dawn on him when he was startled by a rubber band bouncing off his computer screen and hitting him in the face. Schlute whipped his head around angrily until he spotted his co-worker, Michael, looking at him with a big shit-eating grin. "What's the matter, Voldemort? Did I scare you?" Michael laughed. Schlute hated the nickname Voldemort, even though it wasn't intended as a serious insult. The OSB office was dominated by a rambunctious frat boy culture where juvenile nicknames and Nerf gun fights were commonplace. The team bonded through the kind of brotherly ribbing Michael was engaged in, but Schlute had a tendency to overreact to perceived slights. The next day, Michael walked into the OSB office to find that his desk had been completely trashed. As he assessed the damage, Schlute stood nearby with a smug expression on his face. Not to be outdone, Michael responded by trashing Schlute's desk the next night. When the office saw Schlute react to the state of his desk by fuming and storming up to Michael, they all grinned and chuckled, believing they were about to witness the next stage of a prank war. Instead, Schlute started pummeling Michael with his fists. Startled, Michael instinctively put his arms up to protect himself, but Schlute wouldn't stop. He kept beating Michael with an unhinged ferocity of a rabid animal. The OSB supervisor saw the two men grappling and rushed over, scolding them and demanding that they take a mandatory one-hour break to cool off. The usually belligerent Schlute was too out of breath and embarrassed to argue, so he just nodded and slunk away. Outbursts like these earned Schlute a second nickname, the Nuclear Option. But the OSB team had no idea how accurate this moniker was until it was too late. On March 7, 2017, months after Schlute left the CIA for the private sector, WikiLeaks dumped 34 terabytes of data, more than 2 billion pages worth, of stolen CIA documents onto the internet. It was the code and cybersecurity tools that had been developed by the OSB. The CIA techniques for breaking into operating systems running iPhones, Android phones, and Windows and Linux computers had all been exposed. The pages outlined the source code for OSB malware and covert hacking techniques. Not only did this leak hand elite cyber weapons into the hands of America's enemies, it put the lives of the agents in the field at incredible risk. Foreign enemies now had the information necessary to recognize malware on their computers as CIA-made, which would make it easy to go through their list of trusted confidants one by one to find, arrest, and even kill the agents responsible. The entire OSB cyber weapons program had been compromised in the biggest leak in CIA history. And even more troubling, it couldn't have been hacked through conventional means. The OSB system existed on its own internal network, completely separate from the internet, meaning that only someone with physical access to the OSB office, someone with elite programming skills and an unstable personality, could have stolen these files. Someone like Josh Schlute. On this episode, workplace bullying, the nuclear option, and why you should never write your passwords down in a notebook. I'm Keith Korneluk, and you're listening to a bonus episode of Modem Mischief. You're listening to Modem Mischief. In this series, we explore the darkest reaches of the internet. We'll take you into the minds of the world's most notorious hackers and the lives affected by them. We'll also show you places you won't find on Google and what goes on down there. This is the story of the Vault 7 hack. On June 14th, 2022, Josh Schlute awaited the beginning of the second Vault 7 leak trial. We'll get to the first one shortly. And he was running out of patience. The intelligence community believed they'd gathered enough evidence to prove that Schlute had stolen the OSB cyber weapon program files and sent them to WikiLeaks, thereby revealing top-secret CIA hacking tools to foreign enemies, as well as exposing agents in the field to immediate danger, but Schlut doubted it. This was based on ego more than anything substantial, as Schlut was usually convinced he was the smartest man in the room and he never backed down from a fight. In fact, Schlut had a disturbing tendency to escalate conflicts beyond all reason, and no one understood his explosive behavior better than Amal Parashar, a programmer who joined the OSB team back when Schlut was still a fixture there. Amal was an expert in cyber weaponry and malware coding, but he was also straight-laced and didn't know what to make of the boisterous frat boy culture that dominated the OSB office. Schlut took advantage of this by bombarding him with Nerf darts every day, knowing Amal wouldn't fight back. The rest of the team encouraged Amal to relax and join in on the fun, assuring him that Schlut's sophomoric behavior was just brotherly ribbing. Amal wanted to fit in, so he started experimenting with playful insults and picked a new nickname of Schlut: Bald Asshole. The OSB office loved Schlut's third nickname and used it exclusively for months, while Schlut seethed with rage. He began a targeted harassment campaign against Amal, taking bitter jabs at his weight, his Middle Eastern background, and anything else he could use to bully Amal into submission. Whenever Amal tried to complain, Schlut just smiled. "Can't you take a joke?" he'd say. While Amal had come to enjoy the juvenile banter with his other coworkers, Schlut's behavior was something else. This wasn't brotherly teasing, but cruelty under the guise of just joking around. Will he ever back off? Amal wondered. He decided to reach out to Sean, the hacking unit supervisor, about the situation, pointing out that Schlut's behavior had crossed the line from friendly ribbing to workplace bullying. "Interesting that you bring up Schlut," Sean said. "He just emailed me accusing you of being very derogatory and abusive to him." Amal was taken aback. Luckily, Sean was familiar with Schlut's meltdowns and overreactions, so he simply dismissed the email as more of the same. "That bastard," Schlut thought to himself when he realized Sean wouldn't discipline Amal. "Fuck the chain of command." Schlut furiously typed up a formal complaint to the security officials at the CIA, going over Sean's head to make the outrageous claim that Amal had made a credible death threat against his life. These security officials smelled bullshit and quickly verified that Amal was a threat to no one. "We have no interest in playing high school counselor," one official quipped in response to Schlut. The bile rose in Schlut's throat until he was almost choking on it. He feverishly made another official complaint, and another, and another. He even tried to escalate the matter by reaching out to the director of the CIA's entire cyber intelligence division, but no one in the agency fell for it. "If the agency won't help me, I'll find someone who will," Schlut decided. The next morning, Amal was startled to receive a court summons. Schlut had filed a restraining order against him. This move was far too extreme for the agency. Schlut's superiors dragged him out of the OSB office and reprimanded him for making an internal personnel conflict public, saying it was both a wild overreaction and against accepted employee decorum. They offered to address the conflict between Amal and Schlut by transferring Schlut to a different branch on another floor. Schlut became unhinged. "I'll tell the media," Schlut howled. "CIA punishes employee for reporting office death threats would make a great headline." But before he could make good on his threat, Schlut was suddenly approached by a representative from financial news and media company Bloomberg LP. The company had been made aware of his impressive programming skills and offered him a job as a software engineer, a position that would come with a massive salary increase. Schlut immediately accepted the offer. At this moment, in 2016, it seemed as though an out-of-control conflict had suddenly resolved in a way that benefited Schlut, the CIA, and poor Amal alike. But right before Schlut left, he made sure to leave one door open, a digital backdoor granting him access to the entire OSB network of classified cyber weapons and code. After the colossal Vault 7 leak in 2017, the FBI began a feverish manhunt for the culprit. They quickly honed in on the OSB office itself, discovering the former employee with both an explosive temper and access to all the confidential information that WikiLeaks had published. Digging deeper, the Bureau was startled to learn that Josh Schlute had never returned his black passport, the diplomatic passport that grants special status to all CIA employees traveling abroad. This marked Schlute as a potential threat to national security, even if he wasn't responsible for the leak. "Open up!" Agent Adams shouted as he pounded on the door of Schlute's upscale Manhattan residence. "We have a warrant to search the premises." Agent Abrams and his colleagues were surprised when Schlute opened the door with a smile on his face. "Something I can help you with, gentlemen?" Schlute asked. He kept his demeanor calm and friendly as the agents explained that he'd been implicated in the biggest leak in CIA history. "Well, I've got nothing to hide," Schlute told the agents, welcoming them inside. His face seemed typical for a single man in his late 20s, although it had an unusually large amount of computer equipment scattered throughout. "We have to confiscate your phone and computer hardware," Agent Abrams told Schlute. "All of it." Schlute's smile vanished. He handed everything over, without argument, using every ounce of his strength to maintain his composure. When the computer analysts at the FBI gained access to Schlute's desktop, they found a massive trove of encrypted files. Before they could even attempt to crack the codes and break into these files, the agents realized that Schlute had actually also handed them the keys on his phone. On his phone was an easily accessible file with all of his passwords laid out for anyone to see. The agents were surprised by this security lapse, but nothing could have prepared them for what they found. Instead of classified CIA materials, Josh Schlute was hiding over 10,000 images and videos of child pornography. Horrified, the Bureau continued its investigation and found countless Google searches and chat logs regarding underage sex and kiddie porn. There was even a photo of what appeared to be Josh sexually assaulting an unconscious woman. In the middle of the night on August 24, 2017, Schlute was startled awake by a dozen armed FBI agents breaking down his door. "Turn around and put your hands behind your back," Agent Abrams bellowed, aiming his gun at Schlute. He went pale and complied, leaving his Manhattan apartment in handcuffs with 12 FBI escorts. The Bureau charged Schlute with receipt, possession, and transportation of child pornography, to which he scoffed. Schlute stood before the court with an unearned air of confidence of someone who thinks he's the smartest man in the room. "The crime I am charged with is in fact a nonviolent, victimless crime," Schlute asserted with a smirk. His horrifying reasoning did not go over well with the judge, and Schlute was sent to the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan. But the FBI wasn't done with him yet. They kept investigating Schlute as the primary suspect of the Vault 7 leak, knowing he was the only one with both access and the motive to provide WikiLeaks with terabytes of classified CIA data. While the Bureau continued digging for evidence, Josh Schlute sat in his cell, quietly, in the dark, engulfed with rage. "Fuck your top secret bullshit," Schlute scrawled into his paper notebook. "I'll bring the whole system to its knees. From here, I will stage my information war." Still fuming, Schlute slid his notebook under his pillow and quietly retrieved the butter knife he'd stolen from the commissary. He moved toward the light switch on the wall of his cell, double-checked that no one was watching, and went to work. Using the edge of the butter knife as a screwdriver, he carefully unscrewed the light switch plate and pulled it off the wall. Behind the plate was a jerry-rigged cell phone charger held together by duct tape and stolen wires. Looking around again to make sure he wasn't being watched, Schlute went back to his mattress. He opened a barely perceptible slit he'd made in the fabric to reveal the cell phone he'd bought off the prison's black market of illegal contraband. He smiled as he snuck back to the light switch and plugged in his cell phone. Its screen illuminated Schlute's face as he opened a Tor browser, which was encrypted against trafficking and surveillance. He carefully typed in an impossibly long URL and hit enter, taking him to the secure page where informants upload documents to WikiLeaks. In the early morning hours of a cold October day in 2018, Schlute was awoken by a dog barking. Before he could fully register what was going on, Schlute's cell was overwhelmed with a swarm of FBI agents and a cell phone sniffing dog. He was thrown to the ground as the agents descended on his bed, quickly finding the hidden illegal cell phone. Agent Abrams held it up as he looked down at Schlute. "You're going to solitary," he smiled. The Bureau had gathered enough evidence to charge Josh Schlute with 10 criminal counts regarding the Vault 7 leak, including transmitting national security secrets to WikiLeaks. The FBI temporarily put their child pornography indictment on hold and asked the woman Schlute had sexually assaulted, who was also pressing charges, to do the same. Schlute's recent contact with WikiLeaks meant that the Vault 7 case must be prioritized. The FBI couldn't risk him leaking anything else. On February 4, 2020, the criminal trial against Josh Schlute began. The prosecution had arranged over a dozen CIA agents to testify about Schlute's character and behavior during his time with the OSB. This meant explaining the juvenile, frat boy office culture to a jury, which included embarrassing details about each witness. But Schlute had burned so many bridges during his time with the CIA that none of the agents seemed to mind a few awkward confessions if it meant telling the truth about the nuclear option. "He started punching me over a desk prank." "Josh filed several office internal reports and a restraining order against me just because I called him bald asshole." "He got the nickname nuclear option for a reason. He's a thin-skinned bully." These types of testimonies continued for days, painting a clear and damning picture of Josh Schlute. The prosecution punctuated the witnesses' stories with incriminating evidence, including Schlute's illegal conduct in jail and the fact that he made 39 Google searches related to WikiLeaks during his final months with the CIA. They also exposed the exact way in which Schlute would have been able to access the classified OSB cyber weapons network and hand it over to WikiLeaks. Before Schlute left the CIA for his new job in the private sector, he'd used his advanced hacking skills to write a backdoor program and install it on one of the office computers. This backdoor gave him remote access to the entire OSB network, and the FBI found evidence that he'd used it to download a backup of the entire system. The classified information from the Vault 7 leak matched the data from his download perfectly. The prosecution was pleased with themselves, certain that a guilty verdict would be swift and decisive. But they weren't prepared for Schlute's defense attorney, Sabrina Schroff. "My client antagonized his colleagues," she began. "He antagonized management. He was a really difficult employee. But being a difficult employee does not make you a criminal." Schroff cleverly used the witness testimonies against Schlute's character to paint a picture of a pain-in-the-ass employee, making him the perfect scapegoat. As for the backdoor program, she pointed out that the CIA hadn't realized it existed for an entire year. "What other security breaches went unnoticed? Especially when everyone in the OSB office had passwords like 123ABCDEF, something even a child could hack." She continued exposing the details of the OSB team's extremely lax internet digital security, including post-it notes covered with classified information hanging up all around the office. "Hundreds of people had access to this classified network," Schroff continued. "Not just CIA employees, but contractors as well. Considering how weak most of the security was, isn't it possible that someone else stole the files on the cyber weapons program? And who better to blame for such a massive embarrassment for the CIA than someone nobody likes?" The prosecution was floored. Schroff had taken their powerful case against Josh Schlute and neutered it using their own witnesses' testimonies. The jury went into deliberations for several days. On March 9, 2020, they returned with a decision to convict Schlute of two of the more minor charges, contempt of court and lying to the FBI. As for the most serious charges, including whether or not Schlute had ever transmitted national security secrets to WikiLeaks, the jury was hung. The judge declared a mistrial. The prosecution was livid. The FBI demanded a retrial as Schlute was led out of the courtroom. Even though he was being escorted back to his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, he walked with a smile on his face. Schlute spent his return in prison hunched over library books and studying the law with the help of his former defense attorney, Sabrina Schroff. The Bureau had been granted a retrial, and Schlute was determined to represent himself, also known as going pro se. he decided to test the legal system the way he used to test software for weaknesses, finding the types of input that would cause the system to break or react in unexpected ways. He was excellent at identifying vulnerabilities and opportunities, and was determined to exploit the ones in the legal system. Schlute filed dozens of legal motions and appeals challenging his pretrial incarceration, the FBI's strict prohibition against internet access for him, and anything else he can think of. Schlute was essentially engaged in the legal equivalent of a DDoS attack, a cybercrime where a hacker floods a website server with internet traffic to overwhelm and cripple it. Schlute was shocked to discover that his legal hacking skills were much weaker than his actual hacking abilities, as his legal filings and appeals were simply ignored or rejected in annoyance. He was angry, but undeterred, deciding to manipulate the jury instead of the system. By going pro se, Schlute was not restricted to the same professional ethics as other attorneys, and he was committed to seizing that opportunity. Schlute spent every day of his second trial reframing the evidence to make it appear as though he was the real victim, just a pawn in the CIA's twisted game. When witnesses were on the stand, he asked them leading questions and speculated wildly. "So in your career," Schlute asked one witness, "sometimes people make honest mistakes when they classify documents, correct?" "Objection," said the prosecution. "Sustained." "All right," continued Schlute. "Have you ever made an honest mistake classifying a document, sir?" "Objection." "Sustained." This happened over and over again throughout the month-long trial, with most of the prosecution's objections being sustained. Schlute had anticipated this, betting that his slanted questions would plant the seeds of reasonable doubt in the jurors' minds. On July 13, 2022, the jurors ended their 4 days of deliberations. They found Josh Schlute guilty of 8 espionage accounts, including illegally gathering national defense secrets, transmitting classified data to WikiLeaks, and covering up his digital footprints. He was also found guilty of 1 count of obstruction for misleading the jury of his first trial. Schlute, never knowing when to quit, currently sits in jail to appeal the court's ruling while awaiting 1 trial for child pornography charges and another for sexual assault. The FBI had won. Whether Schlute would admit it or not, they had successfully found the culprit behind the biggest leak in CIA history and put him behind bars, despite his meltdowns and dogged persistence. The nuclear option had finally been defused. I'm Keith Korneluk, and this is Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening to Modem Mischief. If you're listening to this episode, then that means you're supporting us on Patreon or a paid subscription on Apple Podcasts, and we're grateful as all hell for you. Modem Mischief is brought to you by Mad Dragon Productions and is created, produced, and hosted by me, Keith Korneluk. This episode is written and researched by Katie Fettigan-Linton, mixed and mastered by David Swope. The theme song You Are Digital is composed by Computer Bandit. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Modem Mischief and slide into our DMs. Thanks for listening.